Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have the regular crew here today.
Wow.
Kathy Houston is back from some sort of big birthday celebration in the Hamptons. How did that go?
I thought it was a big hair expedition.
Is that too?
You can't tell with my headphones.
What was the highlight of your celebration?
Well, there were too many. I can't even tell you.
Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor magazine, is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Andy, what's the big news after?
I'm feeling the effects of allergies. That's all.
Yeah, you sound all snuggery.
Wow, it has hit me hard.
Aw, Allegra.
Yeah,
I got Allegra
Viagra.
Every day.
Joe Haley, everyone's
Viagra
favorite.
Works for that too.
Joe Haley, everyone's favorite.
Talk
Manny
to me now, Andy.
Editor is here.
I am.
Joe, what are you working on today?
I'm going to be working on some Joe shows.
All right, more on that later, I think.
Yes.
Michelle Bell.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Editor of Supply Global Resource is here. Michelle, you're about to take a trip. Where are you headed and what are you going to do?
Hong Kong for the Hong Kong Gift and Premium Show, which I will be covering for our supplier magazine and for Promogram next week.
And what are you hoping to discover?
You know, that's where we are able to see the hot new products that suppliers will have in their lines in the next 6 to 9 months. So it's the biggest show in the world for this kind of, for our industry, for ad specialties.
And can you speak any Chinese?
Bu hao, xie xie.
Egg roll.
Really?
All right.
It's okay. I was going to say dumpling.
Mina is here making the lovely sound effects you'll hear throughout the show. And there we go. How about
that's
that?
A known sound effect.
Wow.
And Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls. Today's call-in question.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
Wow.
We're very feisty today.
That's impressive, Vinny. Vinny actually said that. That was not a sound effect. Vinny's going to be answering your phone calls. Today's question is an interesting one. My staffers are a lot like high school. Quite a few clicks. How can I get them to be cohesive? So if you're looking to make your team more cohesive and get rid of those clicks within the workplace, give us a call. Or, if you have any hints on how to solve that problem, call us at 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air today, Joe, what are we going to give you?
$25 Visa gift card.
And ASI
Radio Finger Puppets.
Finger Puppets.
And a Joe Show key tag.
Ooh.
You'll be the mug anymore? We've moved on to key tags?
We're doing key tags.
Oh, we're changing it up?
Yeah. All right, good.
All right, so call us starting now, 215-953-4979, and we can talk about how to get rid of clicks in the workplace. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
We have 5 questions salespeople should never ask a prospect, 9 ways to create an amazing blog, how to handle emergency situations in the workplace. We'll also look at 5 tips to succeed when you're surrounded by competition, and we have our favorite things, but let's start the whole show off. Industry news in 60 seconds.
Andy. All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with positive economic news for the ad specialty industry. Distributor sales grew 5.7% in the first quarter of 2013, according to new ASI research. Plus, a new industry metric from Counselor shows that distributor confidence in the market is the highest it's been since 2007. The Counselor Confidence Index now sits at 102.6. Read more about it at counselormag.com right now. Legislative news. The U.S. Senate is set to vote on a bill that would allow states to collect taxes from most Internet retailers, regardless of where the merchant is based. The measure, called the Marketplace Fairness Act, would likely end tax-free Internet shopping. Supplier acquisition news now. Fay Promotional Products has signed a letter of intent to acquire the assets of fellow supplier Molinar. The Molinar brand and product line will remain intact, but its production will move to Fay's 300,000-square-foot facility in Edgerton, Minnesota. On to some positive news out of Boston. With the help of an industry decorator, 2 Emerson College students crafted a T-shirt plan last week that has resulted in more than $500,000 in donations to bomb victims' families. More than 30,000 of the Boston Strong logo T-shirts have been sold since last week. Check out Promogram today for the full story. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
We have a sizable boat tote.
Sizable
boat tote. Boat tote.
Can't wait to see that.
You take it on vacation with you. You take it on your boat. You take it to the beach, to the pool, to the gym.
All right.
To China.
Wow, you could even pack for China in it.
You could.
I'm sure Michelle will be bringing that along. We're going to take your calls in just a minute at 215-953-4979, talking today about how to get rid of workplace clicks. But first, we have our friend Leighton Lee from ETS Express on the line, and he's going to give us today's product safety minute. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody's doing well today.
We are, thank you.
You know, first of all, I was pretty impressed with Michelle's Chinese there.
It's pretty limited, Leighton.
What did she say?
More Chinese than I do, that's for sure. Anyways, today's Product Safety Minute is a revisit and kind of covering a few new developments in the area of BPA, bisphenol A, which has been bantered back and forth among regulators for several years as a potential reproductive toxicant, which in plain language messes up one's hormonal systems. So, but three new events that I think everyone out there should be aware of, so that kind of keep abreast of what's going on. Health Canada just came out with a study about a week ago. They've been doing it for several years, and they determined that 95% of Canadians ages 3 to 97 years old have BPA in their blood and in their urine. And this is somewhat alarming. So BPA is a chemical that leaches out of some plastics, food containers, and many other things. So we have to be very, very vigilant about checking out items that potentially have BPA in them. When you're using drinkware and other things, make sure they have the BPA-free label on them. In the state of California, my home state, the folks that run CalProp 65 had intended to list BPA on the CalProp 65 list. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, the American Chemical Council filed a lawsuit last week to enjoin or to stop that listing of BPA. And a judge has granted that injunction, so there is more to come on this. This battle over BPA in Prop 65 is not even close to being over. Last but not least, there is still a law that is in force that has passed in California. It goes into effect on July 1. And this is for all of the suppliers and distributors out there that do children's products, mainly in drinkware and food containers and so forth. BPA is regulated in California under a separate law that is called AB 1319, and it goes into effect July 1. And the detection limit, the maximum amount of BPA that can be found in a compliant product intended for children 3 years and under, is 0.1 part per billion. That is so minute that even most test labs don't have the equipment to detect a limit that small. So I only know of one laboratory that can do that, and they do it down to 100 parts per trillion. So be very, very careful. So the bottom line is just keep an eye out on the BPA. Distributors work with suppliers to ensure that the products do not contain BPA in any of the drinkware.
Okay,
and that includes this Product Safety Minute, and happy egg rolls to everybody today.
All right. Thank you, Leighton. And, of course, you can keep up with the latest BPA news in Counselor Promogram. Now we're going to take your calls at 215-953-4979. Today's topic is how to get rid of clicks in the workplace, and we have Eddie on line 4. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Eddie?
I'm good, but this is a great question. Listen, I have a couple sets of employees, and I found that they've formed themselves into little teams, and they work well, very well, within their little teams and their little groups, but not so well and with not much communication within each other. And I'm finding this kind of an awkward problem to address with them without feeling like I'm, you know, being a father figure or something. But how do I get these two cliques with, you know, to be as comfortable with each other as they are within themselves?
Switch the teams up.
Hmm.
Don't always have the same two little teams.
Okay.
I think
if that's not always possible, though.
I think what he means, though, is people who prefer to work together. So, for example, think of in our department, there's people who typically gravitate to each other and people, other people who don't. So how do you mix up the people? An example would be like what we did at ASI with putting editorial with distributor sales, which are typically two groups that don't work together when we had our retreat last year.
Mm-hmm. Another thing we did at our retreat, which I think we've done every year, is when we want to brainstorm ideas for the magazines, we purposely put teams together who don't normally work on that magazine.
Right.
For instance, whoever comes up with ideas for Advantages, mm-hmm. Kathy, you wouldn't be on that team.
Right.
You know, Andy and maybe some writers who don't write for that team
right.
might come up with ideas for Advantages. And, you know, that forces everyone to look at things from a different perspective and maybe work with people they don't normally work with.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's okay if people are comfortable working with certain people and they're producing great things, but you can kind of manufacture some of these events that force people together.
Or if you have, like, a client and you're working on a client project, have people from both teams like interact together to brainstorm for that particular client or the project.
Yeah.
You know, mix them up.
But I think in general, you know, and this is interesting because we had a lot of people weigh in on Facebook. David Garthwaite weighed in on Facebook on this. He said, you're looking at it all wrong. And this is to our initial question. Cliques and groups usually generate competition between each other. As long as there are no negative attacks or backstabbing, I think it's a good thing. Making the office a totally cohesive group leads to complacency and groupthink, which is something this industry doesn't need. So that's an interesting perspective, too. I kind of agree with both. I say, you know, let people who work great together do that, but then mix it up occasionally.
Yeah, mix it up, right.
Yeah. Hopefully that gives you some good ideas. Eddie, thanks so much for calling today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Stay on the line for your ASI radio goodies. And on line one, we have Tracy. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
Good. So my question is not really about cliques, but I've actually noticed that there's one person on our team who's very nice and talented, and he has really good ideas, and he's good at what he does, but he just doesn't quite fit in with the other members of our team, and he's just a little more shy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, how do I help him become a true part of the team without making him feel uncomfortable, without pushing him too hard?
Well, I wonder if you could surreptitiously have someone be his mentor or friend. I mean, if you've got someone in the department that you trust who's really outgoing and maybe does some work with that person, maybe you could say, hey, could you kind of take this person under your wing?
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle is often a mentor in our group for, you know, new people or people who are still getting their footing.
And it's so fun.
No, but seriously. Seriously, though, you're sort of the designated person who new people go to for help, or if they're, you know, confused or they want to bounce ideas off, they feel comfortable going to you. And I think there should be someone like that in every department.
I do too. And I think sometimes it's easy to pair up, you know, maybe if this person is shy, if there's another person on the team who is maybe this at the same age of that person or has similar background or something in common, you could kind of pair them together to work on projects.
Sure.
Yeah, and we often, I mean, when we have younger people on the team, we often, you know, encourage them to go out to lunch with, you know, other newer or younger people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way.
Sure.
Well, good luck.
Great,
Tracy,
thanks
so much for calling. Stay on
the
line for your gift card. Someone from ASI, Jan Perrin, who's head of ASIcentral.com, wrote in on Facebook on this topic. Now, he has an interesting view. You know, people talk about team building and things like that as a way to solve this problem. He said, I really do not like the company organized team bonding experiences. I think those do more damage than they help. The only bonding ever happening is how we all are trying to survive the day while pretending to enjoy it, so the higher level managers feel good about money well spent. If there really is a morale issue.
Snarky much?
That, you know, he's a little Frenchman. If there really is a morale issue, start training the managers on how to manage and make sure the communication flows. The rest will follow, just my humble opinion.
You know what, though? There is something to be said for the point there about people at, you know, company-organized events that are just kind of there almost making fun of it. That does happen. There's no doubt that happens. And that's Kathy. And I think it's because the companies don't always ask their employees what they might want to do.
Right.
They don't always, you know, try to find out what company employees might be interested in for a kind of offsite event. So I think that's kind of gets to that issue. If you do something that people are actually interested in, and granted, the larger the company, the harder that is to fulfill because there's so many different people and so many different interests, but still asking and trying to get as many people involved in the project really helps.
Well, I think what we do here, and Joe's on the fun committee, it's called.
I'm on the fun committee too.
Oh, both of you.
They're both fun.
And if you don't make a meeting, you get volunteered for stuff.
But at least, I mean,
it's not too fun.
It's pulled from people from a variety of different departments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get to survey, I would think, what people in the company want to do.
We do. And well, I would say that the activities that we do here, a lot of them are not contrived team, you know, those traditional team building things, like, you know, you all have to, you know, like a ropes course or something.
Right.
It's more fun things.
Right.
Like
right. Those
karaoke, and whoever wants to sign up can do it, and everyone else can watch, and we serve beer. Like
that was fun.
That's something that, you know, is more, so it's not forcing people into doing things that they necessarily don't want to do.
Right.
Which and many of these things do. The team build, the quote unquote team building activities. And that's what those tend to do.
And you're still going to have people who go into it with a bad attitude. I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm pointing at Kathy.
I know.
I just don't know.
Well, that's good. Good. But, you know, to assume that, you know, it's bad for everyone, I think, you know, it's a generalization there.
Yeah, I think Andy's right, though. If you do want to do something like that, get input from the employees and try to find something that everyone's excited about.
Well, because
and there are things that you could do that, you know, not no one, there's you're never going to please everyone.
Right.
But there are things that you can find that will.
Absolutely, but it's like anything else in the workplace. If it's only dictated from top management, then people aren't going to be ready to accept it. Even if it's a very serious business strategy or a fun outing, either of those things, if they're communicated just from a top-down perspective, it's not going to work. So it's just the same kind of thing.
And it also depends on the culture of the company.
Sure. I mean,
if you've got a really buttoned-up culture where you don't feel like the leaders, you know, care about the employees or really care about team building, and all of a sudden they're making you all go out in the woods and do something. No, that's very disingenuous. And you're like, they don't care about that. You know what I mean? But if you've got a fun culture where, you know, you're used to doing things like that and everyone's on board, then it's going to be reacted to differently.
What happens if a company goes out in the woods and nobody comes?
Okay.
What?
Moving on.
Oh, that was a good try, Andy. That was a good try.
That was good. That was good.
We have one more comment from Ash City, wrote in on this on Facebook, and they said, solidifying your team culture all depends on great morale and attitude. Your positivity reflects onto others. In addition, be as transparent with everyone on your team as possible. Keep focused on tasks. Help wherever you can, and remember you're all going toward the same direction. A little inter-office fun activity or social committee events don't hurt either. And I think he's saying something that we already brought up was, you know, this is all about the culture of the company. So, you know, make sure, you know, you can't be a have crappy leadership and then just have a team building activity and expect everyone to come on board.
Sure.
Obviously, you want to be positive and encourage that kind of thing.
You know, I've been to Ash City and they love their wine there. They have a very fun corporate culture.
We like some things
we
like
that,
drinks.
Too.
Michelle has a margarita machine.
We like some things about that, too.
Michelle has a margarita machine in her office, which I understand is going to be fired up a lot on summer Fridays. So
yes,
those
indeed.
Of us who come in on Fridays in the summer, Joe, Michelle, and I, are going to enjoy that. Vinny, Mina.
I'll just have my margarita by my pool on Fridays.
Yeah, that's not so team building, but can build.
Said this naughty rich girl.
All right. We have our friend Stanley from California on line one. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your feeling about all this team building stuff?
Well, I tell you, I always think back to when the movie Armageddon came out, and I closed my office and took my office staff, and we all went to the movies. And nowadays, what I've been doing is, you know, we're doing a Dodger night with a bunch of my clients and a bunch of friends, and we've got, I thought we were going to get like 10 people, and we're getting 40 people to do it.
Wow. Whoa,
and I think
that's great.
I think anytime you can do something that, I mean, people know that you might be doing it for work, but when you can just do it for the sake of doing it, and you're not putting any twist on it, and you're not, you know, being obvious about, you know, hey, I want you to buy from me. When you just do it for the sake of doing it, whether you do barbecues or whether you do anything where you just get together and they get to see you as a real person, I think it really inspires people to want to do business with you more and want to work with you more. And if it's your team, they really appreciate the fact that you can relax and you can, you know, take your guard down and just, like, you care more about what's going on in other people's lives than you do what's going on in your own, you know, pocketbook.
Yeah, I think that's true. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you can invite us to, you know, baseball
Dodger
games
night.
Whenever you'd like. I'll come out for a Dodger game.
You can come anytime.
Thanks, Stanley.
All right. Thanks, Stanley. Good ideas. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. We're going to take a break for a message from one of ASI sponsors. When we come back, Kathy is going to talk about questions salespeople should never, ever, ever ask a prospect.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Kathy Houston.
Yep.
You're going to talk about questions salespeople should never ask a prospect. I think these are actually pretty good. I saw them.
Yeah.
And some of them are things that I think a lot of salespeople do ask prospects.
Right.
So we should know about these.
We should.
Tell us.
Okay, number one is, how's business?
Okay.
All right.
That's
Seems innocuous.
Common question that you think people ask. Why shouldn't you ask that?
Because you should know how their business is going. You should be
prepared.
You're
the expert.
Exactly.
You're a consultant for them.
You're a consultant, so you should know how their business is going.
Is there something you should ask instead?
That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, but how do you know that unless you ask?
Yeah.
You go on their website, you see what they've been doing.
That's not going to tell you anything.
What does that tell you?
Listen, you don't just say, how's business. You could
Andy
say,
she's got something
All right,
better.
What do you say?
She's got you could say, what aspect of your business has been most adversely impacted by the economic realities.
Yes, because that just rolls off
blah,
the trunk.
Blah, 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 blah. Like I don't agree with that point.
I think that, I'm going to support Kathy here. I think house business is very general and shows
it is lack of knowledge. No.
On your way.
I don't agree with that.
You can ask house business, but Kathy is suggesting
I'm gonna smack him.
To ask it in a more specific way so that you may glean more specific information. They may just discount you if
That's
you say,
a follow-up question.
House business.
That's a follow-up question. House business is a starter. And those are different.
Because I think it's lazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's as a conversation starter, it's not. Because right there, what Kathy said is way too many words for somebody to say as they're starting
well,
a conversation.
Well, you edit it down, editor.
I did edit it down. How's business?
I think if you can ask something more specific, it'll glean more helpful information.
That's
What's
right.
the next one?
All right, the next one is, what are your product plans for the next year?
I like that.
Okay, this is the
That's a no-no.
It's
a
stuff.
No, I mean, I like that as a no-no. I think that's better than how's business
that's
is a no-no.
That's stuff of private company meetings and confidential memorandas, and not something that they're likely to tell a new salesperson that just walks into their office. So once a salesperson gains some experience and trust, you could learn these plans. It comes naturally as part of an ongoing conversation, but don't ask them that right off the bat.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So what else are you guys doing? That's
general and stupid.
Now we're hitting the wheelhouse.
Exactly.
Should have started with that one.
Yeah. Okay. If there's nothing else to ask, this is kind of just like a filler. Like, what else are you guys
doing?
Yeah,
that's weak. You know, like Michelle said, that's lazy.
Right. Okay. And who else should I be talking or following up with?
Okay,
you should already know who's in the chain
of command. Yeah, because that's something I think that people ask a lot.
They do. And you should be, like, if you're not, you should be confident that you're speaking with the decision maker when you go in.
Right.
And if you're not, well, then you should have done some more homework on the front end.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think it's always easy to find out who the decision maker is, especially when it comes to buying promotional products, because it's not always someone in purchasing.
Purchasing makes
the buying decisions at a company, but they're not necessarily the people who buy the T-shirts.
But surely if you've made an appointment and you're in a meeting, then you've done your homework.
Well,
right.
Yeah,
but
in the meeting, that's
you don't
where
want to
you
waste
glean the information.
Time. No, but you have to get the meeting with the right person.
I think there is a time to ask that question, though.
Well, it's, for referrals
if you've been,
within the
company. No, not even that. If you've been rebuffed by that person that you're meeting with,
sure.
That's a way to end the conversation in a way that you could try to get something else out of it.
Of course.
If the only thing that they could say then is, you know, yes or no, and if it's no, then you haven't lost anything because you didn't gain anything anyway. And if it's possibly yes, then maybe you have another contact you could call on. So I think there is a time for that question.
Sure, if the meeting
goes
bad.
But it's if you got completely rebuffed, basically.
Or if you're going to be emailing, like, certain things, you could say, is there somebody else that should be on this, you know, included on this email?
Sure.
Yeah, that's I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
And you have one more?
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
These are good questions. We're going to put them online at asicentral.com/radio. Joe.
What?
I want to get this in the segment because I just didn't know what you're going to say.
All right. I might speak in Chinese like Michelle did this morning.
It says that you're listed here to talk about whether bad ads cause bad sex. What the heck is that?
I love this story, actually.
Andy does love this story. So this was a Harris survey. and it was revealed on April 11th. So it's not April 1st. It's not an April Fool's joke. But they say 87% of Americans are fed up with bad ads, so much so that 19% say bad ads are even getting in the way of having sex.
But we had discussed this, Joe. That's absurd. You just turn it off and go about your business.
But I agree.
All right, well, right? Why, what's the connection,
Joe? Explain what the problem is.
See, I don't get this. Because it goes down to 83% overall say bad ads actually get in the way of their activities. And one of them is 51% said web surfing. So I don't know if that's the connection there, that people are surfing on the web at adult sites and somehow it's getting in the way when they get a pop-up ad.
Oh,
there's an ad on TV right now for
Kuma. No, that's not the connection.
You can't figure it out.
There's an ad on TV right now for Progressive Auto Insurance that causes me to become aggressively assaultish when I see it.
I think that's the connection.
I cannot function literally for 15 minutes.
Which one's that?
You don't like the flow ads?
The guy is the wrestling announcer.
I don't know.
Let's get ready to rumble. That one. Like, I literally have to go into a quiet room and not.
I think that that's probably the connection. It doesn't have you in the right frame of mind, say.
People get annoyed.
You know,
and then
you get annoyed, and then you're like, you're just angry, and you want to throw something through the TV instead of, as Kathy said, going about your business.
I'm sorry, honey, not tonight.
Yeah, really?
I just saw a bad ad. What, you don't have a headache? No, I just saw that bad ad. That progressive ad.
That's my excuse from now on.
You're trying to figure this out? I just think it's...
I don't think it's that overt. I just think, as Michelle said,
it puts you in an
angry frame of mind as opposed to a positive frame of mind.
You know what? Why don't we let our listeners decide?
I'm going to use this for any excuse now. Okay. Joe, why'd you do that? Well, that ad just made me...
You do that. See how that goes over. See how that works for you.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think it's absurd.
We're going to put this press release and information online at asicentral.com/radio. We'd love to hear on Facebook or next week our callers if they agree that there could be that sort of connection.
No, this is all have to be internet because the survey also found the types of ads Americans find most annoying. Pop-up ads, lottery scans, mail enhancement ads, emails for deceased African leaders who left them money.
Yes, I think the point is that they get annoyed by them, and then they're not in the right frame of mind for happy activities. Now, we are going to move on to Michelle's favorite happy activity.
Happy activities.
Which is to where the editors give their favorite products of the week. Michelle, let's start with you.
Mine is from, what's the company's name? Oh, yes, Leeds. New from Leeds is a travel mug called the Groovy Double Wall Tumbler. And it's from ASI 66887, leedsworld.com. And it's got cool, trippy colors.
Because it's groovy, baby.
It's groovy.
All right, Joe, what do you have?
All right, Vinny, coming close on this, I have three little lapel pins. They're all sneaker related. There's one sneaker. Here's the sole of a sneaker. And we have one that actually has laces. They're made out of rubber.
They're
inexpensive. They got great designs on them. They're good for running clubs, walking clubs, 4 or 5K runs, charity runs and stuff. And you can find them from Pinnovative Designs, ASI 78141, or find them online at www.pinnovativedesigns.com. And that's two N's in Pinnovative.
Andy.
Sorry, Joe. mine is colorful too. It's a two-tone jute tote in honor of Earth Day, which was yesterday, and it's from Cosmos Exports, which is ASI 46758. Check it out online now at asicentral.com/radio.
All right, Kathy, bring up the rear.
All right, mine's just a fun little gift for any program. It's from Clegg Promo. They make lots of fun things. ASI 45450, and they have a fortune teller pen. You ask it a question, click it, and you get an answer.
What was your fortune?
I don't know. I didn't click it.
All right. Well, let us know what happens with that. You can view all these products at asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time today. Thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks to today's show sponsor, ASI Computers. Check us out same time next week when we're going to give a great preview of the ASI New York show coming up in a couple weeks. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.